Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence and The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. Today I am delighted to welcome Carrie Cariello, author of What Color is Monday? She offers a positive perspective on raising a child with autism without sugarcoating some of the struggles along the way, and also for raising all our children with their very unique, special situations. Hello, Carrie.
How are you?
Good, thanks, and thank you for joining us. Carrie.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Carrie, as listeners of Healing From Within know, my guests and I seek to know more about the human and spiritual dynamics of life, and how through self-investigation, we may master the emotions and challenges of our physical world, learning to explore energy and the universal laws of energy so we can stretch and move past adversity to reach our full potential and also find love and happiness along the way. And this is what we want for our children, to help them gather the skills and love of life so that they can find their way forward. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Carrie shares her daily experiences of raising a child with autism who views the world through a different lens and shares how the family has learned to adapt and feels as a result of this, autism has changed the family for the better, living and loving to the best of their ability. Carrie, I often ask my guests to think back to an early remembrance in childhood that may have shown them the values, interests, and goals, or maybe their life plan and the destiny they were meant to experience. As I personally feel, nothing is random, and our challenges are opportunities for great personal growth and expansion. So what do you remember? It might be from your childhood, or maybe from your son, Jax.
Well, that's a great question. It's interesting. I wouldn't say it's from my childhood exactly. I'm a huge reader. I read about a book a week. And I remember in college, I was on vacation with my mother, and we were at the shore. And we went past the bookstore, and we went in, and she directed me toward this book called Family Pictures by Sue Miller. And I devoured it. I think I was like a sophomore in college. And the book is about a family of six children, and the second child has autism. And I just remember like being so invested in the story of how the family kind of revolves around the sun and then ultimately disintegrates, and they kind of bounce back again and sort of their journey. And it just was so, you know, as I move forward with my own family years later, and how much my own family sort of mimics the makeup, although we are five children, but my second son is also diagnosed with autism. And I've always sort of kept a lot of the book, although it was a fiction novel, but the sentiments kind of in the back of my head about the different things this family faced, and it was a bit of a cautionary tale to me. So I think, you know, like you said, nothing is random, and
no.
I was meant to read that book.
Yes, absolutely.
I've read it so many times since then.
Yes, and no coincidences. And let me share this with you. I remember reading a book by Sue Miller when my children were younger, and I read parts of it over and over. She had a great perspective on the uniqueness of life and spirit and love of life and problems that we all face and motherhood. And I find it a great gift to be led to the authors who are on my show because, I don't feel it's random. I feel we're a collective consciousness and voice for these changing times and to raise awareness of the possibilities for our growth. Now, now you say that many people and parents would focus on finding a reason for why their child is different, but you choose to reflect on how to positively make Life, work for the family, giving everyone the love they need to stretch and not break. Can you give us a peek into exactly what it takes to get through each day juggling the needs of the whole family?
I mean, it gets easier every day because my youngest now is six, so I don't really have any babies anymore. I would say it was very intense when we had babies and toddlers and Jack and autism and all of that. My youngest did break his leg this summer, so that was sort of a whole new set of needs. But, you know, we are pretty diligent about not letting Jack run the household. It would be very easy to let his demands and his needs kind of dictate what we do and don't do. We're really specific about that, and I think that's been, it's worked very well in everyone's favor. But at the same time, we're conscious of reminding the other kids how much he flexes for us. You know, a great example is in January, it was my youngest son's sixth birthday, and they get to pick the restaurant they want to go to, and he wanted to go to a Japanese, the hibachi ones, where they cook on the table. And Jack hates hibachi restaurants because it's very loud, there's too much, the fire, it's just too much for him. But we needed to respect the birthday child, and we needed to respect Jack, so we compromised and let him bring his earphones in, which we normally would never let him do in a restaurant, but so he could kind of dull the noise of everything going on around him. And so it's just little things like that that seem so tiny, but I think send a clear message to everyone in our family that everyone is important, and we're going to do our best to make sure everyone has a good experience.
Well, you know, there are so many children being born now with sensory issues on the spectrum, and I believe that this is a way forward for us to raise to a higher vibrational level of our humanity and love. And the children, I work with an occupational therapist who says that she believes that this is the way forward for us to evolve into a higher realm of loving, of being loving beings, because they, all sensory children, have special needs, and that's okay, because we're all unique, and every individual on this planet is here to learn and discover something and has sensitivity to something. So what you did was great with the earphones. Now, please tell us how you came to call this book, What Color is Monday?
Well, I had written the book already, it was finished, and I was really struggling to come up with a title, and there's a chapter in it about snowflakes. I spend a fair amount of time describing autism and comparing it to snowflakes and how different it is. So I was playing with that concept for a title, and then one day I was cooking dinner, and Jack just walked in, and he said, he's very abrupt, he's still very abrupt, this is 3 years ago, and that aspect of his personality has not changed, and I was making dinner, and he just said, what color do you see for Monday? And I joke, in fact, I wrote today on my blog that, you know, once Jack is done talking about something, that is it. You will not get a peek inside that mind until he's ready. And this was a great example.
All right.
Because,
he said that you, what color do you see Monday, Mom?
Yeah.
Because he was telling you that he sees the days of the week as having different colors.
As colors, which it took me a couple of days to really figure out that's what he was trying, in fact, to tell me. And so then it just seemed like the perfect, you know, title for the book. It just seemed like meant to be.
Absolutely. And you want to know something? I teach Reiki energy healing, and colors respond to the different chakras of our energy system, and each is related to different aspects of our humanity, why we're here on the planet, why we're having this physical life, in order to learn more about our energy or inner life, spiritual life, and the physical world. So I'm kind of thinking he really does see colors. It's part of perhaps his connection to the universe or source or his divinity. And some of my students, when I do an attunement or a session, tell me what they see and how beautiful it makes them feel and how connected to everyone and everything. So I think that's great. I really do think that.
Yeah, it's a really interesting aspect. And I know there's a whole sort of study on it called, oh my gosh, it just slipped out, but photosynthesis or something about how people see in color. So, yeah, so it seemed to fit perfectly with the book, and I loved that it came from him.
Absolutely, and I'm sure he loves seeing the book, the cover, himself, and he knows it's about him. Now, does Jack always see Monday as the same color or different colors?
No, he doesn't seem to. He doesn't seem to see, doesn't seem to be consistent. And so, because at first I was going to name it Thursday as purple, which I thought was neat, and then he said, well, it's just not always purple. Sometimes it's green.
Because
so it's really, his expressive language is still quite delayed, so that's about the most I can get from him.
Well, let me tell you, life changes for each of us in every moment, so why would he see the same color every day? So I think that's great. Now,
it's not static.
Yes, it's not static, and we have to keep moving and learning and growing from our experiences, and change is really very good for us. You know, most people shy away from it. We like to keep things consistent, and some routines for certain reasons do have to be consistent, but we have to also be flexible to allow the magic and the moments of change that come in that are good for us. Now, when did you first realize that Jack was slightly different?
I always tell a story that I knew as early as 6 months. We were in a restaurant. He'd been a very difficult infant. He's a year younger, almost to the day, than my first child, also a boy. And he was just a very different kid from my first, right from the beginning, which is not a red flag necessarily. But then he just became a little more and more delayed in terms of certain development. And around 6 months is when I really thought, there's something off here. There's something that I need to investigate.
Well, did you perhaps see that eye contact was not being made, or that he wasn't listening or paying attention when you were trying to read a story or show him something, that he was...
Yes, all of that. He never pointed. He never played any of those really, you know, typical tactile games, peekaboo or twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most chilling red flag for me, and it's probably a unique one, is he really just seemed to have no concept of who we were as his family, who we are. And we would play a game where my husband would say, look at mommy, Jack, look at mommy. And he just, it's as if we were not there. So that, and that's almost not quantifiable, right? But it really was my largest motivator to get him checked out.
Well, I think he's aware, but he responds because of his neurological challenge in a different way. He just responds, but within him, at a soul level, he knows everything that's going on.
Oh, he knows everything. And now, if you could have told me what 11 years old would look like, Jack knows very well who I am, and he's very, very attached to me. As I said, we almost have, it's like we grew our umbilical cord in reverse, you know?
isn't that great? That's
yeah.
So beautiful. Now, I know the day after Jack's diagnosis, you learned you were pregnant with your fourth child. So that shows us that Jack is a middle child. And the dynamics of a family position, where a sibling is in the family, does have a lot to do with some of the attitudes and behavior. So is Jack locked into any specific routine at home that is different from your other children? Because he might need it, and that's okay. Or do you encourage he toe the line just as everyone else does?
Yeah, he's encouraged or expected to toe the line, and he's really the second oldest, so out of five. So I think, you know, we had five babies in under 6 years, which was no one's fault and not very well planned and what have you, but our only chance for survival in those early years as parents was to sort of shuffle them through the day as a mini group, and we still do that to this day. They range from ages 6 to 12, and Jack's always been expected to be a part of that group, to eat when we eat and eat for the most part what we eat, and they all go to bed together. We have four boys who share one room, and there's a puppy in there now, and they all go to bed at the same time. He thrives on that, and as a result, the family unit is so critically important to him that it's like we're his own safety net.
Yes, as it should be. As it should be. We all of us on this planet have to help each other.
Right,
That is the
right.
goal, cooperation rather than so much competition that it separates us. So that this is a good lesson for other attitudes that people need to incorporate into their work situation, family situation. It is a way forward for us to evolve a bit more. Now, I know Jack has a special talent or hobby that's very interesting to him, and I liked hearing it. So can you tell us about his hobby?
Now, which one do you mean? He tends to move on pretty quickly, so I want to make sure. He collects license plates.
That's
Is
the
that the
one
one?
I'm
Okay,
thinking
good.
of.
Because he's also very, very, very interested in music. Yes, he collects license plates. He remembers every license plate he's ever seen. And as a result of the book and the blog that I write, people have just been so incredibly generous and mailed us license plates from all over the world. So we have an entire wall in our playroom of nothing but U.S. and international license plates. And it is a really neat way for him to kind of tentatively reach out to people and people reach back to him. It's been beautiful.
So that's a sense of love within him to explore
Oh,
this
yeah.
world and people, and that's why he has developed this interest. And do you think it's the color or the design of the numbers that drew him to license plates?
I think it's the ability to categorize. Jack's always drawn by anything he can categorize and kind of list in his mind. So there's one for every single state and they all have their own look. And after a while he could recognize them, before we even came up close enough to the car for me to see it. So I think that's what draws him in. We're always trying, my husband and I, to take Jack's interests and opinions and what have you one step further. So we have this little habit where whenever we see one, if it's from Louisiana or wherever, we're in New Hampshire, we try to create like a little story around why somebody from North Carolina might be in our town. And so it's been really neat to see him flex in that respect and try to
Yes.
create a little narrative.
So you're trying to show him the synchronicity between us
Yes.
all being together. That's beautiful. And I have a story to tell you. Years ago, I had a 4-year-old boy who was coming into my office building to see the occupational therapist, and his passion was Porsche cars. He
Oh.
told me he dreamed about them. He drew pictures of them. He carried
Oh, I bet.
models with them. And he came into my room one day and he saw the table that I have and it was set up for a session. And he said to me, "What do you do in this room?" And I said, "Well, I do energy healing sessions. I help people relax and get to know more about themselves." And he responded very, very quickly, "My mother needs that." And they eventually, yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
And they eventually both, he came in at 4 years old, and he was able to be on that table and have a session and connect to his inner being and feel more peaceful, and he brought his mother also. So sometimes the wisdom of small children lets us know
Oh, yeah.
things are not in our head. They feel it in their heart or gut or
That's
soul.
their whole beings. They're
Yes.
very authentic that way. And
Right.
Jack especially lacks absolutely any filter that a child of 11 has learned. And sometimes it comes back to bite us, but for the most part, it's a really beautiful thing to witness.
Absolutely. And we have to follow their cues or the clues that
Right.
they're leading us on. We don't know everything that's good for them. Sometimes
Right.
they know within their own life plan or soul resonance what's right for them, and we really have to respect them and listen to them. This is something that comes out in many of the shows I do, that I'm very interested in parents learning to understand they cannot direct their children in every aspect of their life because they're doing them great harm.
Right. They need to be able to think
Right.
on their own and regulate their own bodies. I just had the same discussion with someone about that. They need to know when they're hungry and what to do to make themselves full and how much is too much and to be able to sit with thirst and all of that good stuff. Yeah.
Yes. So it's healthy to allow
Well,
children to
absolutely.
experience many things and not to judge that they're not ready for it or won't do well with it, to allow it to happen and then go from there. So what was it like This is an interesting and very big question for most parents out there who have children who are on the spectrum, sensitive or have autism, whatever. What was it like for Jack himself to discover that he has autism?
Well, that is an ongoing process. He really started to discover it a little, maybe a year and a half ago, is when he finally said, or we finally said to him, you have something called autism. And I think it's a process that's going to go on for a number of years, kind of grappling with the concept. He sort of thought he was one of many, and there's this loneliness, this isolation that comes with the knowledge of his diagnosis that he brings up every now and again. We don't keep autism a secret. It's not like this undercurrent in the house. It's not a, something underground. We talk about it all the time, in good and bad ways. We'll say, well, Jack, you want to listen to that same song 5 times. That's your autism. It wants repetition. It wants your brain to hear the same thing over and over. But we also make great strides to, go to great lengths, I should say, to compliment him, his memory, and how he can hold on to information and all sorts of things like that. So I think it's going to continue for him, especially as he heads into middle school and high school.
All right. Well, also that sense of loneliness that he may feel might not only be autism, it might be something many of us feel in this
Sure.
disconnection from our where we came from, that spiritual,
Right.
universal source of energy, and we remember at some level deep within us, and we can be with a room of people, and there can still be
Right.
a sense that there's more, that we're more, that there's something else that we seek beyond the physical
Oh, without a
life.
doubt.
Why was it important for you to write this book, Carrie? And how long did it take you to write?
Well, I had been writing for quite a while, but more just small essays and sort of journal entries. And my husband actually came across the name of a small publisher in town, and he said, you should consider sending him something, some of your work. And I met with the publisher, and he said I would really be able to arc all of my pieces together by filling in some holes here and there. And so it took about maybe 6 months to write, not very long at all, because I had quite a bit done. And I think that the importance of it kind of changed for me over the course of time, from the time I began it and then the time it got published. I mean, in the beginning, it was just kind of an exciting project to do and a way to sort of connect with my daily events through a creative outlet of writing. And then when I finished it, I thought, wow, it's really neat to be able to give our story some life and give a voice to Jack. And then when it finally came out, really the feedback that resonated was that it connected people, like we were talking about earlier, isolation, people that felt alone and like the struggles were unique to them only. It gave them, I think, a little bit of power and community.
Yes, and I think the book is for anyone who has been touched by autism or children who have sensory needs or people who feel that their children are lonely or isolated because they can see the efforts and the challenges and how to do the best with it. So I want to thank you, Carrie Cariello, author of What Color Is Monday, a truly warm and loving story of one family's united and unified, fun-filled and fulfilling approach to living with an autistic child. And if there is one thing you would like people to know about autism, it's this. Autism is to be embraced, not feared. It's not something to be afraid of. To find out more and to purchase this book, go to carriecariello.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have taken a peek into the dynamics of family life with Carrie and Joe, 5 siblings, including Jack, who has been labeled with autism, but who experiences life as we all do through our own unique perceptions, fears, and limitations, perhaps from our genetic predispositions, environmental factors, soul and energy life before being born, and perhaps part of the universal divine plan for each of us. It has been my personal observation over the many years of my intuitive development and energy healing work that each of us possesses the DNA of universal life and are more similar than different. We have exactly what we need for us to explore this physical realm, to learn and evolve, and in the process, discover more about ourselves, others, and the nature of love and compassion. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is random. It simply is, and we have the free will to make choices to find happiness and joy no matter what challenges or circumstances face us. In my book, The Living Spirit, I address this by writing. It is this ability to find love everywhere and in everyone which allows the soul to connect to a higher knowing, namely that all that exists on this and other dimensions are miraculous and infinite. This is the journey of the soul, and in order for soul maturation, one cannot allow oneself to be any more attached to one soul than others. This can be hard to accept, let alone implement. After all, aren't we all taught from birth to love our families beyond all else and to take care of our own? Although expressions of love are equally needed and valued by spirit, it is in the oneness of being and the fairness to all that means we are detaching from our human ego and have come into the fullness of our divine soul energy. When we can accept each other with all our earthly limitations without wanting to change, fix, or blame each other, then a greater sense of peace and freedom will be established. Carrie and I hope we can all continue to see the beauty, uniqueness, and love that our children express so effortlessly and allow each child to share their own perspective in their own way. Without thinking, only one way is possible to find their own path in life. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in the field of metaphysics, science, spirituality, medicine, education, the arts, and music, as we search for a clearer way to master our own thoughts, actions, and to find freedom, joy, happiness, and a sense of peace in all our undertakings. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.